If you're awed by this world in all its beauty, many stately mansions lately you might see. But without great wealth, I know I'll never own one. You won't either if you're no more rich than me. But if your eyes can look beyond what man is building, you can see what earthly mortals cannot see. For on the other side of Jordan, there's construction right now on a mansion being built for you and me. And I say, wait till you see, just wait till you see my home. Wait till you see its beauty. Well, there is nothing that can compare. Oh, I said, wait, just wait till you see my home. My Heavenly Father's building me. I'm gonna occupy for free. Wait till you see my home. My new home will not be set upon a foundation that is man-made and will someday pass away. And it won't be built where the winds of life can batter, or where storm clouds hide the light of day. Up there, the cornerstone of God is my foundation, the root of David, Christ the Lord, my soon coming King. What a mansion, what a homecoming awaits me over there. And I'm expecting any day just to move on in. And I said, wait till you see, just wait till you see my home. Wait till you see its beauty. Well, there is nothing that can't compare. Oh, I said, wait till you see, just wait till you see my home. My Heavenly Father's building me. He's gonna occupy for free. Wait till you see my brand new home. Wait till you see its beauty. Oh, there is nothing that can compare. Oh, I said, wait, just wait till you see my home. Gonna occupy for free. Wait till you see, wait till you see my home. Wait till you see my new home. Wait till you see, just wait till you see my home. Come on, church, see its beauty red. My home.
My Heavenly Father's building me.
I'm gonna occupy for free. Wait till you see my home. Wait till you see my new home. Hey.
We'd say we'll do it again, but we're winded up here. But anyway. But anyway. Hey, I'm glad this morning that those who are saved, us that are saved, the Lord has promised He is preparing a place for us. And we do have a place. And whenever that place is ready, guess what? We're going home. And it may be by the way of the grave.
But my prayer is it may be way by the way of the rapture. Amen. And we can miss that old graveyard scene. And what a blessing that would be. But nonetheless, I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I hope you're saved, and I hope you're here for the right reasons, and that is to worship and honor the Lord. And we have a very, very special Sunday morning this morning, and we are going to honor our graduates 2019 this morning in just a few moments, just after the choir comes down. And we have three that are scheduled to come this morning and receive just a small gift from Calvary Baptist Church to them for the success that they've already achieved. I want to say this. I was thinking this morning, we're not only excited for those graduating, but I want to give thanks and a round of applause for the parents behind those. The diligence, the patience. Sometimes the parent is even seen as the bad guy or bad parent in the sight of the children when they're going through those stages and homework and, oh, mom, oh, dad, I did it. Yeah, I know I did my homework. And then the next day we see that it was evident they didn't do their homework, and so we've dug a little deeper next time and through many tears and hugs and trips to Brewster's after school. I see Brother Brian grinning a little bit, and hey, we all as parents go through those things. And we're honoring the kids this morning, the young adults in graduating, but also we're honoring the parents as well. Thank you for all your hard work and diligence. It is definitely showing forth this morning. We've got a lot of things going on. Again, we're going to start off before preaching time with honoring our graduates, but also just after I pray in a couple of minutes, we're going to mention our missionary moment, and we're going to highlight one of our missionaries that the church supports, and that will take place in just a moment. And I do want to give my thanks and appreciation for Miss Chris and Rusty working with me. We're co-laborers in the area of the missions program, and appreciate them working with me on that. What a blessing they are. But I do want to mention a few things as far as prayers are concerned. Please remember Barbara Ann. She's been in the hospital, but things have been really bleak lately as far as her breathing on her own and eating and things like that. The last word I got last night was she was on a breathing machine, ventilator. Miss Barbara Anderson, from what I've heard this morning so far, is getting ready to go down there to Atlanta to visit her. So you pray for her and Barbara Ann during this time. Catherine's mother needs our prayers as things are still looking bleak and declining there. Pray for strength for Miss Catherine and Brother Ceylon. Shirley Townsend and her cancer and the treatments and the path that the doctors have set her on or going to set her on. She needs our prayers, and Brother James as well. Let's remember Jenny Clanton. She actually had back surgery, and I was just made aware of that this morning. And one reason why we just found out, I was told, is because she didn't want anybody to see her without any makeup on. Whatever the patient wants, the congregant wants, we'll honor that. Jim Carmichael has had a seizure and several other issues taking place as of late. Let's pray for Betty Berry and Brother Allen, Sister Terry and the family as they take care of her. And this dementia Miss Betty is experiencing / Alzheimer's. Amanda Martin's stepdad's memorial service was yesterday out in Rome. And it was a celebration, I'll tell you. It was a great celebration yesterday at that memorial service. He left a legacy behind of a life lived for Jesus and a strong faith, and we were honored to be able to witness that. Let's remember Leonard and Dolores Palmer's daughter Sharon and her pathway of cancer and dealing with cancer and medications. Norma and Cassie Kronovich in that situation as well. We have a fully loaded prayer list, church. Let's remember one another. And that just barely touches the list that we truly have. There are all kinds of needs. We've heard some praises this morning. We praise the Lord for the praises, and rightfully so. Okay, in just a moment after our prayer, we're going to have our mission moment. Then our choir is going to sing. We'll honor our graduates. And I believe one of our graduates wants to say a word as he comes to receive his love gift this morning. So we're making time for that. And then CLU Brotherhood at 4 o'clock today. Remember that. We're picking up on our courageous Bible study in the men, for the men. And VBS meeting after AM service in Ceylon's class for all volunteers. And if you're not able to make that meeting after the AM service, we'll have a duplicate meeting this evening in the PM service. And of course, just reach out to us if you need any additional information. And let me say this, and we'll pray. Brother Jack Henderson told me this morning that 87 Revelation Made Easy study books have been distributed. And that deserves a round of applause as well. Know the times we're living in, church, and we are all called to do so. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Just take our time and be at ease. We're here. We have a lot going on, and we're proud of that. We're excited to have things going on, but let's take a time out and just go to the Lord in prayer and allow Him to do a work in us. Heavenly Father, we pause this morning, and we want to say thank you for preparing that heavenly home for those who have called upon your name for salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, this morning we are so thrilled and proud, Lord, of those that are getting ready to graduate. One of the graduations is this evening, and the other two is this coming Thursday, and one is from Grace Christian. The other is, dear Lord, from the local high school, Hillgrove, Lord. And we're thankful for that, Lord. Thankful for the parents, Lord, that supported and continually support their children. Father, I pray as they get ready to make this next step, if college is in their scope, Lord, I pray that you would shield them, guide them, and protect them as they go out, Lord, into this world. I'm reminded so often when the psalmist compared our children to arrows and how that we spend our days, Lord, straightening these arrows and molding and shaping these arrows for this big day. Lord, for when we let go and let God control their life, what a sobering thought that is, Lord. Father, we pray that you'll protect them and lead them and guide them. Let them land where they need to be. Use them greatly, Lord, in this old world. And we already claim and we know that you'll protect them. And Father, for the prayer list, for the needs, those in the hospital, those battling cancer, those who have treatments coming up, those who have lost loved ones, Lord, you know it all. Our sufficiency is not in man, nor the mechanics of man. But our sufficiency is in God. Because of that reality, today we cast all of our care upon you, for you care for us. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves under your mighty hand that you may exalt us in due time. Those who are downcast in spirit this morning, help them, Lord, to humble themselves under your hand. Those who have active fears in their life, and those who are battling things and dilemmas that only you know about, Lord, help them to just give up in Jesus. Relax themselves in your hand. Father, I want to thank you for the Revelation studies that have been sent out. Thank you for the heartburn from Jack and Jackie, Lord, for the gospel, for the end time study that we all need to be up to date in. Thank you, Lord, for showing your blessing upon it and having those distributed, Lord. Thank you for the fruit to show, Lord, from the burden they have. Father, be with us this morning in a very special way. Be with the singing. Be with the preaching. And as we leave, be with us then. Keep us safe. And Lord, wherever we're at tonight, whether a graduation or a church service, whether at home, I pray that you would be near to us even then. And Father, for everything that you have done, everything that you're doing, and everything you're going to do, we render praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
For thank you, church.
For about 1 or 2 minutes, I do want to take time to honor and mention a missionary family of ours that we support. And I want to say that this mission is on our mission board and it's current. So you can drop by and take a look on your way out if you'd like. But this month, it belongs to the New Hope Children's Home in Arequipa. Close enough, Miss Chris?
Yes.
Arequipa, Peru. The New Hope Children's Home. This children's home was founded in 1995 by David and Debbie Bolos. They saw how many orphaned and abandoned children were living on the streets. And there were very limited resources available for those children. As you can see, that is the birth of a burden. It started with a small home, but for the first 2 months, the judges wouldn't place any children in the home. As you can probably tell, the beginning of this process, they had to be persuaded, the judges. So it started with a small home, but for the first 2 months, the judges wouldn't place any children in the home. They finally placed an 11-year-old little girl, and it grew quickly from there. Now there is an average of 40 to 50 children ranging in age from infant to 18 years old or older. So it's definitely grew since then, 1995. They're now able to attend school, and some are able to go to the local university. The home is set up into apartments with 6 or 7 children and house parents, a lot like our campus. The home provides transportation to and from 4 different schools. Tuition for 1 year totals approximately $12,000. Then there's costs for vans, uniforms, books that can total $8,000 to $10,000 per year. Nobody really has an idea of what this stuff costs unless you've been affiliated with some type of home. Recently, they were able to set up a new library with books and toys and games for every age group. About 30 kids per day use the library. There are also reading programs and prizes for those who participate. They have given children with no family hope. A new loving family, as well as the hope of salvation through Jesus Christ. And we appreciate the New Hope Children's Home from Arequipa, Peru, which was founded by David and Debbie Bolos. Thank you for your support, church. Brother Allen.
Why would you stand with me? Church, would you stand with me this morning? So good to see you in the house of the Lord. And I want us to sing a chorus we haven't done in some time. I'll try my best to kind of give you the words. You'll catch on very fast. It talks about we have come into His house for one purpose and one reason this morning, and that is to worship Him. We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship. Sing the same thing with me now. We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him. Worship Him, Christ the Lord. Let's forget about ourselves. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify His name and worship Him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify His name and worship Him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Christ the Lord. All right, let's go back and sing that first chorus again. We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Christ the Lord. Amen. Great job, church. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated. Again, it's so good to see you here in the house of the Lord. If you're visiting with us this morning, you are our special guest, and we thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship. Have a lot of things going on this morning, so we're going to try to move on pretty quickly here. But again, thank you for being here. Remember all the prayer requests. Don't forget about the announcements. Of course, service this evening at 6 o'clock. Choir practice immediately following COU and Brotherhood, which is at 4. Then choir practice to follow, and then service at 6. Again, we have a graduation that will be outside of the service this evening, so some will be there for that. So make that a matter of prayer as well. Have a lot of things going on this week, but of course, Wednesday night, Bible study and prayer meeting on Wednesday at 7, so make that a matter of prayer if you can be here. And again, a lot of prayer requests, just remember all those. I'm glad to know that the Lord knows all about them all, amen? Amen. And we just pray that the Lord would be with each one of them and touch them in a very powerful way. We had a very special prayer request given in Sunday school this morning, and I'm glad the Lord knows about that. A young lady by the that is 13 years old, was in a very tragic accident, and she is in dreadful need of prayer and needs the Lord's hand upon her. Please remember the Snow family. He knows all about that, and so please remember them in prayer this morning. Remember her especially in prayer, the Snow family. But let's go to Him in a word of prayer and ask Him to be with us this morning. Again, 4 o'clock COU today, and Brotherhood at 4, so please remember that. But let's ask the Lord to be with us this morning and ask His blessings on the offering as well as the service. Pray for pastors. He brings a message. Brother Charlie Wilson, would you lead us as we pray?
and sitting here just thinking. I pray I can make it through the song now, but we're going to sing Hold On. We have so many people in our church that is struggling. Family members that have lost loved ones. Kids that are having to now take care of parents. And I just think, oh Lord, I don't know how anybody that doesn't know the Lord can hold on to anything. It's only those of us that know the Lord can get through those difficult times, because He is the only thing that we have to hold on to. So let's please, we have such a long list in our church. Our country is in desperate need of prayer. And all we have is to hold on to God to be able to get through it. Pressing fears, tormenting doubt, prayer after prayers till there's no way out, and it seems like pain is all we
very, very blessed this morning to have a very special face from many years in our youth group. And I would like to ask Miss Caitlin Lester if you would come down here. For many years, this precious child was our songbird. Some of my favorite memories are listening to this young lady sing. She has a voice like an angel, and she has the energy to go along with it to just truly, when she sings, just be such a blessing for the Lord. Caitlin, come up here. God may have moved this family to another church, but we still consider you as one of ours and part of our special group. You will always be part of ours in our heart. This young lady is also graduating this year. She's graduating from South Paulding High School, and she is planning to go to North Georgia, University of North Georgia, and she's actually leaving in July. So as we honor our graduates this morning, we wanted to make sure that we included Caitlin in that group, and this is just a very small token from our youth group. But we love you, and we are praying for you, and you're going to wait right here, and the rest of the graduates are coming down, and then there's going to be a prayer after.
Got to meet Caitlin and congratulate her the first time. That's a wonderful first meeting. And we're so very proud. And those who are graduating. So we have a total of four, but the next three I want to call down one by one. And if you would come up on the stage, and again, Calvary has a gift we want to give to you. Proud of you, and just line up down here on front, and then we're going to pray over you. Christian Busby. He is a graduate from Grace Christian Academy, and I see him myself several times a week, and he is a well-deserving young man. Next two we have are brother and sister, as you know, but graduating from Hillgrove High School, and that is Jamie Carden. You will come down. Jamie has a word he wants to share.
I'm not going to talk your head off, I promise you. But I just want to say that I haven't been here all my life. I've only been here about 4.5 years in this lovely church. I count all of you as my family, even though you're not blood. But all of you have a wonderful place in my heart, someone held cherishable upon my heart, and who has been very supportive upon me. And upon my sister and upon these other graduates and really dear friends of mine. I hope and pray that y'all continuously pray for us as we go on to our next chapter of life, and that we continue on to be inspiring and to be wonderful works of God's lovely hands that he has made us upon. Thank you. Amen.
What a blessing. Miss Christy Carden. If y'all would center yourself in front of the pulpit down there on the floor so everybody can see you, all four of you. Just take your time. That's good. As I said in the some opening comments and my prayer from earlier, they have achieved a great area of their life, high school. Of course, all the grades from preschool till now. And again, very big thank you and appreciation for the parents behind them and the oversight and the mentoring. A lot goes into it to see these straightened arrows here that are getting ready to launch out into the world. I do want to have a word of prayer over them, and I know that normally college follows high school. We don't really know what the Lord may have, but whatever direction the Lord may take you guys in, you have our prayer and our love and support. So, yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Darlene for saying those true things from, again, someone who has hands-on experience, seen from A to B, the growth all the way to Z. And so we appreciate that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, words can't express, Lord, the level of gratitude that we have for these young people. Lord, I was their age once and was not going that direction, God, but I'm so very thankful that through mentors and through leadership and through that solid foundation of Calvary's Children's Home, Lord, and other avenues, God, you have shielded and guided and directed these young adults, Lord, by these resources, and we are eternally thankful for that. Father, as we're praying this prayer, we know that there's excitement in the room and there's enthusiasm in the room, and we know there's also some nervousness in the room, especially from these four this morning, along with the parents. But Lord, as the decisions are being made, and I'm sure a lot of them have already been made, maybe even 2 or 3 years ago or longer than that, about this day and this day forward, Lord, I pray that you would do as the writer of Proverbs says, Lord, to just direct those steps. God, as they keep their desires and passions upon you, Lord, I pray that you would give them the desires and the directions of which way to step. Father, as they do so, keep them safe and keep them secure within your arms, Lord. And Father, we know that there'll be days of struggle ahead because we're living in an unredeemed world. Father, we're thankful that we have a refuge in you, Jesus. You are our strong and mighty tower. Father, as these arrows are being launched out into the world, Father, we pray for others to be out there, God, that would be your hands and feet and be their safety and be their source, dear Jesus, because there are those days, Lord, ahead that are unsure. But Father, we know that God, you are praised and you are exalted and you are glorified when a young man, a young woman moves forward in you, Lord, in life and graduates and goes on to college and has her own family. And God, you're glorified. Father, we pray that you would make that happen, Lord. Give the best for your people, Lord, and we know your people want the best from you. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. For all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do, in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated.
special time. We got one graduating from elementary school and going to middle school. And so we've got to make a trip to the mall. Y'all get that in a little while. Oh, me. Book of Psalms, chapter number 40 this morning. Book of Psalms, chapter number 40. And whenever there's an occasion at the church or a holiday that we observe as Christmas and Easter, I'd like to give a sermon or a message along those lines, but we got as close as we could with it still being primarily, well, the main driving force for every sermon or message is in the heart, but we didn't want to move away from the heart, is what I'm trying to say, just to accommodate the morning. But I believe there's some things in Psalm chapter number 40 as to show us that God does promote, God does raise up those who were down or who may be in a lowly spot. And this morning, this message isn't just to acknowledge the graduates, but it's for everyone this morning. Everyone who has been down and is now up, or maybe you're down and you want to get up. So this sermon this morning is for all of us. Notice in verse number 1 of Psalm 40, David says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." I want to stop reading there in verse number 3. That's Psalm 40, verse 1 through 3. And of course, we have David here who's given praise for God's deliverance. I want you to notice in verse number 2, David says, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and has set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." I want to preach for a few moments on this subject, David's praise for a raise. David's praise for a raise. Now, God raised David up from a low place in his life, and in response to that, David gave praise. Now, this raise that David got, let me go ahead and make this clear. This raise that David is praising God for, it isn't a financial raise. It isn't a material raise. But it was, I believe, a spiritual raise. It was David with a downcast spirit. If you notice, the past two Psalms, chapter number 39 and 38, had to do with dark places. And now David is rendering praise. And so David gives praise for a raise. I want to say this morning that if our centerpiece in life is spiritual, God will take care of the rest. This wasn't a praise for a financial raise. It wasn't a praise for a material raise. Although if those things come, we give praise to God. But this was a spiritual praise for a spiritual raise. As you know, David kept the Lord, his God, as the centerpiece of his entire life. And everything that surrounded that centerpiece was affected. David had good days. David had bad days. But because of his centerpiece, because it was spiritual, the Lord gave him a spiritual raise. And David was down in a pit, but now he is upon a solid rock. And his going forth has been established. And now David has a song in his mouth and a song upon his lips. And people see that. He has experienced a transformation in his life. Because of this transformation, there are those who have and are witnessing, or who has witnessed this transformation in his life and has praised the Lord on his behalf. You never know, church, even out of these who are graduating, will look and say, will look upon their lives and say, "Look at here. They stuck with it and they graduated." Listen, there are kids and teenagers dropping out of high school and leaving home and living a life that is contrary to how their upbringing was. But David is experiencing a raise. And because of that, there are others giving praise. In verse number 3, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." Who knows whose life will be affected by you walking and receiving your graduation certificate? Who knows? And who knows whose lives will be affected in a very positive way to those who have been downtrodden, or those who have been in the valley and God has came along because you've been patient and you waited on Him and you didn't exit and try to handle things upon your own ways and wills. But God has delivered you. Who knows whose life is being touched from that? I want to say to those who may be down this morning to just wait on God. Be patient. Wait on His best. And sometimes God's best takes time, because there's many things in the equation that God is piecing and putting together. David said, "I waited." And because he waited, God delivered him. And we have David's praise for a raise. David was in a similar situation Jeremiah was in Jeremiah chapter number 38 in verse number 6. Listen to this. This is about middle ways to the verse in Jeremiah 38 verse 6. The Bible says, "They let Jeremiah down with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water, but mire. So Jeremiah was sunk in the mire." Jeremiah was at a place in his life. All he did was preach. He preached the good news. He preached the soon coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he was a prophet of God. And he pronounced judgment upon Israel. And so he was let down into a dungeon, into the mire. It was a place where there was no water. It was just miry mud. Jeremiah was stuck there. He was at a low place. Maybe you this morning might be at a low place. You might be in an atmosphere where it's dungeon-like, where it's dark and it's cold and it's dreadful. We'll get into this in just a moment about that mire, but you can't get a footing in the mire where you're at. You keep slipping and things aren't catching traction. Just wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. David's praise for a raise. I want to mention a few things out of Psalm 40. And I hope it'll be a blessing and a help. But before I get to these verses, I want you to notice that God gives raises in life. In 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse 6, Peter says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." Now he says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God." The word "mighty" or God's mighty hand can speak of two things. It can speak of the heavy hand of God, and how that in life sometimes we feel as though God's heavy hand is upon us. We move to the right and things are tough. We move to the left and things are tough. Could it be that God is applying a heavy hand? But at the same time, it could give reference to a helpful hand. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." Meaning the best thing for us to do is to just lay loose in God's hand. Be pliable in His hand, because He not only has a heavy hand, but He has a helpful hand. And God can help us this morning. But it's when we stiffen up in His hand, we feel His heaviness. If we lie pliable within His hand and loose in His hand, the Bible says and promises, in due time, we'll get a raise. In James chapter number 4 and verse 10, James says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." And the word "sight" gives reference to the awareness of God. You are nowhere out of God's scope this morning. If you are in a deep, dark, dungeon-like place that's cold, wet, and dreary, you are in God's scope. Whether you are in a busy place where life is busy and you're stressed and strained each and every day, you are in God's scope. One of the very characteristics of the Lord has to do with His awareness, how He knows all things, the omniscience of God. And I love Psalm chapter number 139, and I mention it often, is when David gives the account of the awareness of God. He mentions all through that verse, he says that, Lord, you know my sitting down. And I say this often, but listen to these words. Lord, you know my sitting down. Lord, you know my rising up. Lord, you understand my thoughts afar off. Lord, if you know when I sit down, whether it's at home, whether it's at work, whether it's in a car, Lord, you understand, you know when I'm sitting down. But also, Lord, equally to that, you know when I stand up. Whether it's in the morning to stretch, or it's in the morning to complain, whether it's behind the pulpit, whether it's on the assembly line at work, Lord, you know all about it. And so it's a very good comfort this morning to know that if we're in a deep, dark, dungeon, dire place in our life, that God not only has a hand that is mighty and is heavy, but also helpful, but God has us in His scope. Where are you at this morning? Are you in a helpless place? Are you in a dark place? You're not so helpless that you're out of range of God's help. The Bible says in Isaiah that his ear isn't so heavy that he cannot hear, and his arm isn't too short that he cannot save. Listen, help is available this morning. So we see this morning that David is talking about giving God praise for the raise that he got. God gives raises in life. You just got to wait on them. Humble yourself. Relax yourself. Be calm. Be still. Cast all your care on Him. Give up in Jesus' hands is what He wants you to do. He wants you and myself to have exhausted every area in life. And when we come to that area in life where we have totally exhausted our resources, then what happens? Most of the time we are candidate for help, aren't we? We go and listen, like the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, she sought doctors and physicians. And the Bible says that she rather grew worse and was nothing bettered. She spent all that she had on the medical field to try to accommodate her problems on the inside. But then she got all the way to bankruptcy. But guess what happened? Some people say it's luck, and some people say it's just happen chance. I say it's the grace and mercy of God. Right at her bankruptcy, Jesus was passing by. And I want to say that Jesus passes by at our times of bankruptcy when we've exhausted our efforts. We're in that deep and dark and dungy place in life where we've tried to pull ourselves up and we can't. I want to say that Jesus is still passing by. God gives raises. Do you need a raise this morning? Spiritually, do you need a raise this morning? Because all you have to do is acknowledge and assess your situation. And sometimes when we acknowledge and we assess our situation, sometimes it's self-induced, if we're honest. If I'm in financial debt this morning, and I'm in over my head, and we're getting ready to lose everything and be up under a bridge somewhere, that's my fault. That's not God's fault. That's because I wasn't a good steward of our monies. And that's not the case, praise the good Lord. But it may, listen, if I'm getting ready to live up under a bridge because I didn't handle our finances right, that's my fault. There's a car that I may have that I've run ragged and hadn't changed the oil and the tires like I should. And, oh, I'll put it off. Now I don't have no ride. Guess whose fault that is? That's my fault. That's my fault. And so sometimes we have to assess ourselves in our current situations as to why we're in that situation. And then God will begin to give us an education after we assess the situation, because He wants to have educated children. He don't want his children to repeat the same thing over and over and over. And listen, there are people, you can go to them and talk to them and you can instruct them and give them advice and share all your life stories, and still your phone will ring and it's the same thing, same thing. But listen, we know that God's eyes on them, and it's our job and it's our desire to love them and help them along the way. But somewhere along the way, you have got to learn to trust in the Lord. Somewhere along the way, you have got to graduate from trust to absolute faith, where whatever your circumstance looks like, the Bible says God will take care of you, and you've got to embrace that. There comes times in life where we have to graduate. Speaking of graduation, to an absolute trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and His Scriptures. Guys that are graduating, I want to tell you, you're getting ready to have a faith lift, because you are one step closer to being on your own in the world. I don't know how long it may be, but you will eventually rub shoulders with the world. And then you'll be reminded of all those nights that mom and dad has told you, son, daughter, you need to pray and put God first. That's why we go to church 3+ times a week. That's why we do our homework and do what's right, because we're molding you and shaping you to be an adult, because there's coming a day when mom and dad won't be around. We're going to rear back and we're going to launch that arrow, and you're going to go sailing to your destination God has for you. And there will come a time where all the sermons down through the years and all the music and all the Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings and Sunday nights that maybe seem like a drag at the time, from time to time, now it's treasure to you, because it's just you. And you're in the world, and you're on your own, and you're away from home, and now you desire to have those Calvary meetings. Listen, young person, hang on to Jesus, hang on to your faith, and get ready. Put on the whole armor of God, because once you get in the world, it is real time in the world. I want to say this morning that God gives raises. And God, sometimes the reason why we're in a dungeon place is, it may be self-induced, but other times it's just the sovereignty of God, the providence of God. It may not be anything that we have done as to why things are dark, but even obeying God, it gets dark. You think Paul the apostle asked for the thorn in the flesh? And I can't be dogmatic about this, but some believe, and at the end of a couple of his epistles, Paul leads on to give reference to an eye disease, opalophilia, something along those lines, opalophilia. Some believe it was when Paul was in the city of Lystra. And some believe that's where he led Timothy to the Lord. Well, Paul was dragged outside of the city and stoned and left as a dead man. And some say this is where the third heaven experience took place, when he was stoned and left as a dead man. And can't be dogmatic, but if you look at it, you got to at least think about it. It may have happened then when he was called up into the third heaven. And first, he places himself in that story as a third person. I saw a man, or heard of a man, and saw a man one time that it was he himself talking. Paul was. And he talked about how that he received a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan was sent to buffet him, lest he should be exalted above measure. So now Paul is beat down, and Paul is bogged down and beat down, and he begged God for a thorn removal. He begged God and asked God and besought God 3 times, Lord, remove this thorn, remove this thorn, remove this thorn. And then finally, the Lord answered and said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. Meaning, Paul, the measure of the pain you're experiencing, my grace surpasses that. My grace is exactly that. It's sufficient for the measure. Whatever, Paul, whatever measure of pain you have, whether it's your eyes or whatever it is in your body, some infirmity, Paul, whatever measure you have, my grace is sufficient. It measures out to that. It surpasses that. And so sometimes in life we find ourselves in those dark places of life. We're not perfect, but there is no continual habitual sin. We're not leaving church and going to the bar and kicking back a few. No, because we believe that Christians shouldn't do that. And we have a Holy Ghost drawing to woo us and woe us away from that. We're not habitually sinning. We're not perfect, but we're trying to follow God. And we follow God the best that we possibly could, speaking to all of us. And now we're in a dark place. Listen, sometimes those dark places come even with obedience. I want to say that God gives raises. Sometimes we find ourselves in need of a raise because of self-inducement. Other times it's just the flat-out providence of God. And think about Joseph, how he was down in the lower parts of the courts. He was in prison, wasn't he? Sold into slavery. Lied on, coat many colors ripped off of him, told his dear old dad that he was attacked and murdered possibly by a wild animal. But then one day, the butler and the baker, and we know that one of them was getting ready to be released and the other one died. Joseph said, "Remember me when you go up there. Remember me when you're released." Guess what happened for 2 years? Joseph was not remembered. They did not remember Joseph. They got their early release and they were gone. There sat Joseph in that dark place. The providence of God allowed him. Who knows for those 2 years? All that we know, he could have had more people down there, possibly did. We weren't told that, the butler and the baker only. But say perhaps for 2 years. They forgot about me. Man, I thought I was loved of my father. Man, I wonder what they're doing up there. Man, I want to die. Man, I want to die. And then one day, Pharaoh, Potiphar, had a dream. The man had a dream. And he asked if Joseph was still down there, the one that could interpret dreams. And he was. And he was sent for. And he came, guess what? He was promoted. And at the end of the book of Genesis, we read that where Joseph had opportunity to revenge upon his brothers, he was so spiritual enough that he knew he didn't do anything to be sent to the dungeon. He knew it was the providence of God. And he said, "Ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And sometimes this morning, it's us who end up putting us into prison. Other times this morning, it's the providence of God. But if you follow God to the best of your ability, and you're in a dark place this morning, you can rest assured that God is up to something this morning. He works all things together for good. What a blessing. And so we see David here in Psalm 40. He said in verse 1, number 1, he praises God that he heard me. Verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. David is given praise for the raise because that God heard him. Look at the word cry here. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. The word cry means to halloon. Never heard of it. So I looked that word up. Halloon means, not hallucinate, but halloon means to shout to someone so that they can hear you. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He heard my halloon. Halloon means to shout to someone so that they can hear you. We've been unpacking at the new place. And a couple times in the past week, Christy has been upstairs at the other end of the house. And I've been downstairs. I knew she was up there. I knew there was a possibility if I shouted to her, she could probably hear me. If I shouted loud enough. And so I shouted. And the dog jumped. Looked at me, licked his lips, and lay back down, scared to death. I didn't hear nothing. She kept on. I heard footsteps. Christy! Blow dryer turns on. Hair. What in the world? She can't hear me. She's blow drying her hair. I said, man, I'm going to have to walk up there and get her. And then finally, because I knew she was within reach, I just ran her back. Christy! You calling me? It means to halloon or cry loud. And David is saying, I was in a dark place, in a low place in my life. I knew that God could be reached, but I had to cry. Some of you this morning are in a low place and you are raring back and you are withholding your crying to God. I want to say this morning, you need to come and just pour it out before the Lord. Cry. He's within reach to be heard this morning. I had to apologize to Lily, though. I said, I'm sorry, honey, for yelling. She was on the other side of me. So David says, he heard me. And I'm praising him for that. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Isaiah says that his ear isn't too heavy that he cannot hear, nor his arm too shortened that he cannot save. Listen, your deliverance can be right here this morning. All you have to do is cry aloud. If you've been needing to come for salvation, you do not know that you're saved, you need to come and embrace God's salvation so that you can know that you know that you know that when you die, heaven will be your home. Maybe you're here and it's dark. You need to cry aloud. Quit withholding. Quit putting off. And listen, let me say this. Somebody said one time, just don't cry. Real men don't cry. I beg to differ this morning. I beg to differ this morning. You're looking at right around a 300-pounder. And I'll cry at the drop of a hat, and I'll drop my hat to cry. And by the way, I'm trying to get that number down. So y'all pray for me. Real men cry. Cry to the Lord whether you need to get saved. Cry to the Lord whether he needs to save you. You're already saved, but help you in your situation. Pour out his grace and mercy upon you. Cry unto the Lord. He'll give you a raise in his timing. Let me mention a second thing. Not only David praises the Lord for the raise concerning that, having to do with that God heard him, but in verse number 2, he lifted him. Look what he says in verse 2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. David said he heard me in verse 1, verse 2, he lifted me. Now, he said that he brought me up or lifted me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Look at the two words, miry clay. Miry clay speaks of what they call dregs in this language. Dregs being remnants of water in a container mixed with ground which create mud. Miry clay, dregs. I mean, you could think about it in your head, just Georgia clay, Georgia mud. I mean, you could tell that it's not solid, dry, it's moisturized. There's some remnants of water that are left upon it, which being mixed and it's slosh. It's mud. It's messy. It's mire. And so it's hard to get a footing in something so loose. It's hard to get that foothold where you can start that first step because you have a step in something that's so muddy and so loose. David says, I was down in that pit and I was trying to get out. He said, but the thing about it, I was in the mire. I was in the dregs, the water remnants mixed with ground. It created mud, and every time I tried to get a footing, I just slipped. I just kept on slipping. Verse number 2, this horrible pit and this miry clay speaks of one who cannot get a footing in life to get out. And that might mean you this morning. You may be in that place, whether it's self-induced or by the providence of God. You are trying to get a footing. I want to say this morning that you can't help yourself. I can't help myself. And the sooner we acknowledge that, the sooner we can get help. The same way that the lady with the issue of blood for 12 years came to the end of herself. In the same way the man with the withered hand knew that all those years he could not extend his hand. But at the words of God, he did, and he was able to extend his hand. The same way the lame man was on his mat for all those years. When Jesus passed by and said, what wilt thou me to do? You see, it's a spiritual thing. It's a supernatural thing. In the realm of the natural, we cannot get out of our situation. We cannot help ourselves. But at the words of God, we can get help this morning. God says we can do all things through Christ which strengthens Him. That is moving out of the realm of the natural and into the supernatural. Realizing and understanding that we're helpless. We're needy creatures. And David said, I was in a horrible pit. I was trying to get out. The clay was so muddy and messy. Have you ever been there? Where you tried to get out and, oh, I can't. It's just, if I could just get a footing. If I could just. What's stopping you from getting that first footing this morning? Let me ask it this way. What will allow you to really plant that first foot toward God? Is it a situation where you felt like you've been done wrong by God? And because you felt like you've been done wrong by God, you've retreated on God. You're here this morning. You got dressed, but you're praying for a miracle. But in the back of your mind, why would God ever do that? Listen, let me say this. On the authority of God's word, there's a bigger picture, folks. He works all things together for the good of those who love Him, those who are called according to His purpose. God has a bigger scheme of things. We know that Mary cried at the death of Lazarus. Jesus, you should have been there. We're human. We're going to cry and we're going to question at times, why have things happened the way they have? But at the end of the day, if you need to just rest that subject, God, I don't know why it happened the way it did. I don't know why my spouse, my loved one, my friend that I thought was my friend, I don't know why they turned their back on me and left me. I did nothing wrong. I don't know why work is going the way it's going and why they're throwing heaps upon heap of work. I cannot feel like I can do any more at work. Lord, why, why? And because of the why factor, you come to church and you're dressed up and you're here, but there's that loose footing. Maybe this morning we all need to think about what first steps we can take and what frailties we have that would, if it was tightened or really dug in a little bit deeper, that we could go forward with God. Maybe we all need to think about those things and ask God to help us. But David said, He lifted me. He tried to get a footing in that mire and he could not. He kept crying out to God. And then God heard him at his own time. Let me hurry. He heard me, He lifted me, but then He positioned me. Look at verse 2 again. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, having a horrible pit out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. He positioned me. We serve a God this morning that hears His children, but at the right time will deliver us. And we serve a God this morning who will not only hear us, lift us, but position us. God has a way of hearing us and positioning us on a solid foundation somewhere. We know He ultimately is a solid foundation. And everything built upon that foundation is after Christ and our salvation in Him. But David said that God delivered him. He heard him. He lifted him. And then He positioned him. This speaks, in verse number 2, this speaks of safety and protection. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. The thoughts that have been running through my head last night in finishing the preparation for this sermon is the positioning part. I kept thinking about our children's home ministry. And listen, the children's home, I do not have to tell you that, but I will, because I want to praise God for them and everybody associated with the children's home, because it has been the rock for children and young people through 50 plus years who have came out of the mire of horrible homes. And listen, every situation is different. Everyone wasn't necessarily mistreated and abused, nothing like that. It was just they needed the assistance of the children's home, and the children's home was there. And is there. It's a solid foundation. And they were brought to them out of this horrible pit in their life. And the parents and mentoring and oversight was trying to raise them. And it was as if it were mire, just could not get a footing. And so there was the children's home. And the children's home speaks of stability and it speaks of protection. And our children that's been raised through the children's home have been on the rock, not only Jesus Christ and in the spiritual aspect, but have been protected and been mentored. And I want to say thank you from my heart to yours. That speaks volumes for God. And I want to say something that the children's home ministry is known in this community and is known in a lot of communities in our area and abroad. And I take great pride in that. And I thank you for that. And so, position, David said. He set me upon a rock. Speaks of safety and protection. But also it speaks of that the fact that David was now able to stand. Look what he says again in verse 2. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay and has set my feet upon a rock. I'm standing. I wasn't able to stand. But because of you and your love and your protection, I'm now standing. Ezekiel said the same thing in chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. When God visited him, when he was 30 years old and called him to be a prophet, that God said, Ezekiel, I want you to go and I want you to prophesy. I want you to preach. And God says, I will put you on your feet in verse number 2. And the Bible says that God raised him up to stand. God called Ezekiel, he was not on his feet, so to speak, spiritually speaking. But because God intervened, God called Ezekiel and he raised him up on his feet and he was able to preach. Guys and gals, you were able to walk down this morning and graduate because God put you on your feet. And you're going to go on to your lives because God has put you on your feet. And all of us this morning can be so appreciative that God has put us on our feet. Lord, help us. Don't think for one minute we got to where we are on our own. And so David was positioned. Look in verse number 2 again. He was motivated. He positioned me. He motivated me. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He motivated me. He established me. He stabilitated me. He made me right. He fixed me. And he put me on a straight course. That's what the Lord will do for you. He set me in motion. He directed my steps. This was the next act in my healing process, was to move forward. And because God heard my cry and he reached down and he lifted me up and he positioned me, now he has motivated me. And David says, I am walking forward in my life all because of this raise that God gave me. Verse number 3, David said that he tuned me. He tuned me. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. David says that at one point in my life, things were sad and bleak and somber. David said, I went from the mire to the choir. I was down and now I'm up, all because God gives raises. I cried aloud, I hallooed because I knew he could hear me. And in due time, he lifted me up and he put my feet upon a rock and he allowed me to move forward. And so David is saying, I praise you, Lord. Take a time out and say, I praise the Lord for what he's done in my life. The Lord has reached down and saved me November 19th, 2002. He positioned me upon the rock. He motivated me. He set me aright. He tuned me up. And now I'm wanting to be a voice for him. Thank God for his raises. The last thing in verse number 3. Not only he tuned me, but he used me. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Job talks about how that we are to magnify his name from afar. David is talking about how that through our praise or the words on our lips, God is magnified and others actually fear the Lord and believe in him. The whole gist of the message this morning is simply this. Is that David gave praise for the raise. And I believe anytime the Lord moves in our behalf, ultimately, the goal is for God to be praised. The Bible says, if I be high and lifted up, I will draw all men. And sometimes it's through the word of a testimony that draws all men. Sometimes it's through the holiness that men see that draws them to repentance. It's all accordance to the praise and to the words that come from us. God uses, we're instruments for Him. And as we stand to our feet this morning, maybe there's something that you want to praise the Lord for. Maybe there's something you need to ask the Lord for. Our altars are open if you need to come as we sing.